From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, broadcasting live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Good morning, Lacrosse, if you're listening on the Eagle up there. Greg Bach is running the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789 if you want to call in and or text. I'm so excited about our next guest, and this has been many months in the making. Adrienne Thunder is joining us. She is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager. Adrienne, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, this language app that has been long in the making. Tell us about the Ho-Chunk language app and why this was so important to get up and running.
Yeah, that's kind of a long story, but the short version is this is something that our tribal members have been asking about for several years, and it has been several years in the making. We did have a kind of a rudimentary app several years ago, and so people kind of got a nice kick out of that. That was nice to use back when they were just first coming out. Since that time, the contract with that particular outfit that we used expired. And so we kind of thought about what we wanted to do with the new app. And, you know, things were changing so quickly with technology then, lots of bells and whistles. And, you know, there were so many applications like Duolingo and Rosetta Stone and all types of other language apps that were doing some really cool things. And so when we started asking about it, we found out developing something like that with a language that hasn't been used before, the development process is expensive.
I bet it is.
Yeah. So that was kind of our main hindrance at that point. You know, and they were talking about 3 years of development work that would need to go into that. And of course, each year of that came with its own price tag. Pretty hefty. So we were working on it for a while, just in terms of planning for things that we wanted to see in it. And hopefully the time was right. And soon enough, we came across the Language Conservancy, and we talked with them for a little bit about their work with other indigenous languages. And they told us that there was a way that they could help us develop an app, and that they had used that with other tribes previously. And so it looked like a pretty nice plan. And then they helped us with the grant writing to the federal government. So we got a chunk of money to help us out with that. And we were on our way.
That's really wonderful. It is. I've been so interested in this. When I first saw this article, it was in WPR, actually. Adrienne Thunder is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager. And we're talking about this new app that they've come up with. For people who may not realize this, Adrienne, there were some very concerted efforts to kill the Ho-Chunk language.
Well, there certainly were. So in addition to, you know, things that had been happening to us anyway, historically, either removals to lands westward, Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, places like Nebraska. And then in addition to that, there was the boarding school era that began in the late 1800s, which was a really concerted effort to try to replace our language with English, of course, and kind of force us to you know, take on American ways, more American ways of living. And so, you know, that really caused, you know, probably the biggest dent in our language survival all this time. And so we've had generations. In fact, I think people would be surprised to know how recent the boarding school era was. It was in the time of my grandparents. So, you know, in the early 1900s, or mid 1900s, rather. And I think people would be shocked to know. I mean, there's still Indian boarding schools that exist today. Of course, they're very different creatures than they were back in the day. But, you know, they're still with us, you know, and I think people are surprised to see, you know, as late as the 1960s, even there were some efforts that were taken to snuff out indigenous languages.
I did not realize that they had been around that recently, Adrienne, until the 1960s. That's pretty shocking. What have your grandparents said about their experience in these boarding schools?
I think like a lot of other people, they didn't speak that much of it. You know, I think it was an experience that was, you know, so horrific that it's just really hard to try to express what that meant in any kind of meaningful way. And so, you know, again, they just tried to get on with their lives and try to carry on the best they could. And they carried the scars for that, you know, for generations to come, actually.
Oh, I believe it.
With us today.
Yeah, I believe it. Do they still speak Ho-Chunk?
Yeah, my grandmother did. You know, so she, it took her a little while to adjust and come back, you know, come back to it. But yeah, my parents, my aunts and uncles, my dad's siblings, they all spoke Ho-Chunk in the home when they were growing up. So within the home, my grandparents taught them all there is that they knew about Ho-Chunk language and culture. And then outside of their home, they told them, you know, you have to learn how to get along in the world, you know, and learn English and learn a trade or go to school or, you know, do the best you can outside of the home. But when you come back home, you know, you need to be Ho-Chunk.
So how can people use this app? I'm just so curious about it.
You know, and I think that's the coolest thing about it is that, you know, we're dealing with younger generations. And I think there's just so much more imagination and, of course, technology to help them with different ways of expressing themselves. So, you know, if you look around today, it's just really gratifying to see so much proliferation in the popular culture. You have fashion designers, you have musicians, you have poets, you have artists, you have, you know, all actors, actresses, you know, I mean, you're seeing more Indigenous people appear in lots of different places where they hadn't before. And so I think, again, in the various ways that people are able to express themselves, the language will become that much more, you know, appealing and that much more inclusive of everything that they're experiencing today.
Sure. Adrienne Thunder is our guest. She is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager, and we're talking about this new app that has been developed to basically, essentially, teach people how to speak Ho-Chunk. What do young people say about this? I can only imagine, Adrienne, that the first words they want to learn are the potential naughty words.
Yeah, I think they kind of pick those things up along the way from family.
That's always it's the same wherever you go. I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I would say though, like, so we offer high school classes in Ho-Chunk in 5 Wisconsin public school districts. We're in Black River Falls, Toma, Wisconsin Dells, Baraboo, and Nakusa. So in those high schools, we offer Ho-Chunk, at least Ho-Chunk 1 and 2. There's, we've been adding schools as we've been kind of going along. And so some of them are a little further along. But I would say that right now our high school students, they're really interested in a course of the, you know, the cultural ways, and they want to learn songs, and they want to learn, you know, prayer, and they want to learn, you know, different kinds of things that they can do with it to express their Ho-Chunkness. And so, of course, that's definitely something that we're interested in wanting them to do. There's a student organization at a couple of the schools, and they've been talking about, you know, contemporary Native issues like murdered and missing Indigenous women. They talk about Rock Your Mox and you know, there's different
Rock
days throughout the year. Yeah.
Rock Your Mox.
And so, you know, again, they're bringing their creativity and their experience as, you know, teenagers to the language. And I think that's really gratifying. I think the other thing that's really cool about the app is, again, we've used some of those young people's voices for the recording session. And that was really neat to see.
I bet.
In fact, yeah, one of my aunties, she's 86 years old, and she was one of the elders that we had on site working with the youngsters, and she was so happy to hear the young people using language. I mean, it was just so gratifying for her to hear that.
Oh, I bet. Is it extremely difficult to learn?
It's tough. You know, it's I wouldn't say it's harder than, you know,
any
Spanish or, you know, anything like that. You know, I think some of the sounds are similar to sounds you would hear in the German language, for example. So they're not, you know, too different. But at the same time, you know, it's a different system than English, of course. And so if you grew up an English speaker, it's an adjustment and it'll take time to learn. But yeah, it can be learned.
Well, can you give us some phrases in Ho-Chunk just so we can get an idea of what it sounds like?
Okay, I can do a quick introduction. And I, you know, in full disclosure, I'm a novice speaker myself. I'm coming along, learning the language along with a lot of others. So,
oh, that's great.
I need to excuse myself ahead of time if any Ho-Chunk speakers are actually out there listening to me. But anyway,
everybody's a critic.
Yeah. Haini pi, hini karagiwi. Ho-Chunk rajara, Adrian Thunder, hingaide. Naga. Oh, I'm sorry. Ho-Chunk rajara, ahugenanga, hingaide. Naga, mahkade rajara, Adrian Thunder, hingaide. Ho-Chunk language, division manager, Watwanangshana.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. I guess it is not a written language, correct?
No, most indigenous languages haven't been written for quite a while. And I would say back in the, 60s, 70s, 80s, there was a lot of, disagreement, I think, among tribal members that we write it down. And that was a taboo at that time. But as it became plain to us that we would need to develop some sort of teaching and writing system, we eventually came around to using the International Phonetic Alphabet
to
help us with our language. Yep.
That's just going to make learning it so much easier, especially if you're an older person trying to learn a new language.
Yeah, and the writing is familiar. At least we use the alphabet, that everyone's familiar with, and there are of course diacritic symbols that make the sound different.
Right.
But other than that, I think it's visually recognizable.
Adrian, if people are interested, where can they get this app?
It will be available through the Google Play and also the Apple Store, the iTunes Store.
I don't know,
App Store. I think anywhere that, of those two major outlets, the most people get their apps. Yeah.
And is it called the Ho-Chunk Language App?
I can't remember the name that we had decided on. its official name, I think it's... Ho-Chunk Way Pettis. But if you use Ho-Chunk as the search, no doubt it'll come up in the online dictionary.
Well, I'm so excited for you, and I'm so excited about this app. Adrian Thunder, the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager, really has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, and thank you for letting me share this with your audience.
Absolutely. It's been lovely. Stay close when we return. Terry Bell, News Director for Civic Media, checking in from downtown Milwaukee as we await President Biden. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't forget me, Martha, my dear. Hold your head up, you see.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Just a reminder, the Bucks going to be hosting the Orlando Magic tomorrow night.
Hi, Jane.
Starting at 6:30 if you're listening on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh. And you can catch the game. Again, this is tomorrow night, Bucks hosting the Magic on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Obviously, lots of activity in downtown Milwaukee today. President Biden is going to be speaking, and joining us is our news director, Terry Bell. Good morning, Terry. How's it going?
Hi, Jane. Sorry about all the confusion. Technology is glorious. It is what it is.
It's always challenging, right? It is always a challenge.
It sure is.
So what time is President Biden expected, Terry?
Well, President Biden is actually in Wisconsin. Air Force One landed about 10:45. Now I imagine he is meeting with supporters and other VIPs, getting a tour of this facility. This is the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. Among other things, serves as an incubator for small businesses. We've heard a lot about Bidenomics and his plan to grow the economy by growing the middle class out as opposed to the upper class down. But particular, we're going to hear about small businesses today and what's been happening for them in the last 3 years, and particularly with Black-owned small businesses, and how important that is in a city like Milwaukee, which has seen a lot of changes over the past generations or so. I'm here with Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, and Earl has a lot of insights on that that I think are valuable to all of us.
Absolutely. We're going to pass it along to Earl there, and we'll get to get our colleague Earl Ingram on.
All right. How you doing, James?
Guys, you don't need your phone. Your headsets will do great.
Okay.
Use your headsets, not the cell phone.
Still got issues. Okay.
All right, Jane, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Earl. So there is some concern because it does seem like support for President
Hello,
Biden.
Jane, can you hear me?
Yes, Earl, I can hear you.
No. Okay. I can hear you. Jane?
Yes.
We'll just keep soldiering on. Earl, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air just about why this is so particularly important in Milwaukee, a place where there was once, as in much of America, a thriving black middle class. There were good manufacturing jobs, and there were plentiful, and people had a high standard of living. And in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, that has changed quite a bit. We were talking about that.
So I have a PhD in black Milwaukee since I have lived here my entire life, soon to be 70 years. When I was a young man, Milwaukee had the highest standard of living of blacks anywhere in the country. As hard to believe as that is, we had the highest standard of living in this city for people of color. Because at 18 years old, you could do what I did, walk right out of high school and walk into industry and work on a job for 34 years that allowed us to live the American dream, to buy a home, to send your kids to college, to buy new cars, to save some money, to travel, to go to Disney World, Disneyland, all of the things that the majority of America could do, we were able to do that. And a lot of that had to do with the civil rights struggle and all of those things. But more than anything else, it had to do with the fact that Milwaukee was the machine shop of the world.
Just about any tractor in America was made in Milwaukee, wasn't it?
Not only tractors, sewing machines, washers and dryers, automobile frames, televisions, you name it, we produced it. It wasn't just Milwaukee at that time, it was America. America was the one nation that was not invaded. And so after World War II, many of the other nations, their infrastructure was destroyed. And so America was king in manufacturing. And so that meant in cities like Milwaukee and other places, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Kansas City, manufacturing was king because we produced things for the entire world. So a city like Milwaukee, and which with us at that time when I was a young boy, probably about 20% of it was black. But because of what transpired in World War II and other things, there were so many jobs that were available, and all of them were forced to pay a going rate because of the competition with hiring people.
Exactly. And that's what happened after that. So we had this situation, jobs were good, jobs were plentiful. You could have a prosperous family. What happened then?
Well, something called a couple different things. Something called global economics. Something that made it possible for companies to move their jobs out of, number one, cities, and then northern cities, which had unions, down to southern cities that did not have unions. And they certainly could do that cheaper. And then eventually to move them out of those southern cities that didn't have unions onto places like Mexico, which was even cheaper than what was taking place in the southern states, and then even cheaper yet by moving them to China and moving other places. So people would say that it happened because unions and what we were making, the companies could no longer afford to do that, but that would be an inaccurate statement.
There are still jobs here to do in the United States, and Bidenomics, if you will, is helping make that happen. We're going to hear quite a bit today about the owner of a company called Hero Plumbing, which just got a big contract to enact a lot of the America, bipartisan infrastructure law to replace lead pipes, the dangerous lead pipes that are all over, particularly in Milwaukee. And that work is, you know, going to be done by a private company, Hero Plumbing.
So let me first begin to say that what has transpired with leaded pipes in our community is absolutely sinful and shameful. So many young people in the city of Milwaukee and other urban as well as rural areas have been poisoned by lead. All of us know the impact of that. So we're going to take a short hiatus, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
Earl Ingram and Terry.
Jane, we'll have more if you want us back. We'd be happy to keep talking.
Earl Ingram and Terry Bell, thank you so very much for joining us in downtown Milwaukee, waiting for President Biden. He is going to be speaking today at a special incubator in downtown Milwaukee. Again, that was Earl Ingram Jr. and Terry Bell, our news director, joining us. Stay close. When we return, John Nichols is the associate editor for the Cap Times, which is a wonderful publication that I highly encourage you to check out. He's got a couple of columns about why he does not expect to receive a Christmas card from the former president. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's an old Christmas card in an old.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Madden there in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And you can always join us at 844-967-2789. We are hopefully going to be connecting with John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Cap Times, has a couple columns about the former president, essentially tagging him for an alibi regarding the January 6th insurrection. It's a pretty interesting article. You can find the op-ed. We'll put it up in our show notes. But again, we're waiting for John Nichols, the associate editor from the Cap Times, to be joining us here on the program. We just heard from Earl Ingram and Terry Bell, who are in downtown Milwaukee, waiting for President Biden. He is on the ground here. I'm sure if you're driving around downtown Milwaukee or anywhere leading from downtown to the airport, you've already noticed that.
What's going on? Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it's true.
I was driving yesterday, and I came up to an exit where there was a bunch of cop cars and ambulance lights, and I was like, oh, gosh. And the accident stopped just as my exit came on, so the flow of traffic was perfect.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, sweet baby Jesus in the manger, you're smiling upon me this Christmas Eve.
Something that that I did want to share that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think it's important because this is happening right before Christmas. After months and months and months of sitting on these promotions in the military, Tommy Tuberville has finally backed off.
Oh, Tubby.
I mean, so this pointless military blockade is officially over. The Senate finally confirming the final group of senior military nominations that were held up because of Tuberville's protest over the Pentagon's abortion policy. Mm. So the 11 flag officers have now been approved, joining the rest who were approved a few weeks ago. Earlier this month, Tuberville agreed to end the blockade against promotions for 3-star nominees and below. The remaining 4 stars were finally released this week. This took months. He's been sitting on this for months. I feel so badly for these military members and their families who haven't been able to go on with their, they've been in a holding pattern all this time.
I mean, and over the abortion policy in the military.
Well, you know, they tried to frame it as abortion tourism. That's what they were calling it. That didn't catch on, so they backed away from that. But yes, because the Pentagon allows female service members to travel if they need abortion care. And that's ostensibly what this whole holdup was over. Personally, I think he was holding them open and would have continued to hold them open until after the next election, leaving all these things, all of these promotions empty so that if Donald Trump should win, he can appoint his loyalists and essentially have most of the military on his side.
Oh, that's just terrifying. I mean, the thing is too, is no one can even primary him on this because he'll go home and be like, I did this for the babies. Like, he gets to campaigns. He still somehow gets to be a winner on this because at the end of the day, even though he gave up, he said, I did what I could. I held out as long as I could for the children, for the babies, because I believe in life. And that makes his base go gaga with excitement.
But ultimately, he got nothing.
Yeah, but he...
he got nothing but inflicting pain and uncertainty on all of these people who are sacrificing to serve in our military.
Well, luckily for him, though, he doesn't care about them. So he didn't have to worry. He doesn't have to suffer anything. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't have to even care about his buddies who are all against abortion laws, but doing some pretty nefarious stuff behind the scenes too that we never see. But, you know, hey, what do I know? It's just trying to, I'm just me spilling some tea.
Oh, speaking of spilling tea.
Ooh.
George Santos has been busy flapping his mouth since he left Congress.
Yeah.
And I don't know why anyone would believe anything that comes out of his mouth, but it has been pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, he has listed off several people by name, fellow Congress critters, who he says Kevin McCarthy is corrupt, and there's insider trading and all of this hanky-panky going on among members of Congress, and I guess that really shouldn't surprise anybody.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy's corrupt. Next. Oh, there's insider trading. And
next.
Like, you want to really raise the hackles? Name some names, show some proof. Unfortunately, you spent the better part of your time here lying your face off so no one, you have no credibility whatsoever. I mean, like, you could have the Ark of the Covenant and people would be like, you probably bought that at 5 and below. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, no one cares. He's going to end up on a reality show, or he'll be a pundit from some style thing, or he'll become an influencer online. I mean, he's doing cameos now.
Yeah.
And he did that interview with Z-Way, that's where she actually asked the question, what do we have to do to make you go away? And he answered it perfectly. He said, stop inviting me.
Well, truly.
Like, what do you think is going to, like, if you want him to go away, we have to ignore him. That's how you shed shadow on him, and he will just crawl away. But if you keep putting the light on him, he's going to walk towards it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Do it. Make your money. We're the idiots who are like, I can't believe him and blah, blah, blah. Why would he just go away? Because we're talking about him. He'll go away when we stop talking about him. But he'll never stop being relevant because we'll always be curious.
It's watching a train wreck in action.
Oh, a beautiful train wreck.
Let's say a well-styled train
wreck. I was going to say a train wreck in a beautiful sweater.
That comedian who you just mentioned, Z-Way.
Z-Way.
She asked him how many stolen credit cards he had used to pay for his outfit.
Yeah.
And he at first denied owning anything from Hermes other than the cologne. That's all I wear is the Hermes cologne. Oh, no, wait. And the bracelet. How did you buy that? She asked. He said it was a gift from his husband. Santos, who's 35, also said he's been getting Botox and fillers since he was 25.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Not one bit. Not one. I'm surprised. Honestly, I'd been surprised if you said 15, but 25?
Do you think that's, is that, am I just way out of the loop as far as when people start getting cosmetic treatments?
Well, now they've sold Botox as more of a, it's less about, it used to be, Botox used to be like, I'm going in for Botox treatment. Now you see billboards everywhere. You can run into a place, get a couple of units, and you're good to go. It's simple, it's easy, it's fun. And he's just on the cutting edge. And I didn't know he was married.
Well, that's what he says.
Yeah.
And whether or not we can put that in the bag remains to be seen.
She went on to ask him about his thoughts on some black LGBTQ leaders, civil rights activists too. And she named off James Baldwin, Marsha P. Johnson, and he just, like, Marsha P. Johnson, he goes, love her, everything she did. And she's like, really? Like, everything. You don't know who she is. Next question. Like, he has no idea.
No.
That's I mean, I'm not going to find a lot of books in his house.
Well, and what I find amazing, though, is that he was not better vetted before he ever ran. No one did back. They don't do background checks on candidates. You would think before a political party would endorse someone, you would at least, I mean, I had to have a background check in order to get global ID.
Yeah.
I was interviewed by an FBI agent, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you can run if you want, if no one else is running. I mean, it wasn't a huge seat in New York. And I mean, the thing is that the New York Republican Party was not happy about this, but there was no one else running. And the guy who was running against him had gone to various papers and said, this man is lying. And the papers did nothing.
No, and wasn't it a very small newspaper?
Yes, it was.
It was a very small newspaper in New York that uncovered all this stuff.
Yeah, and because he went to the bigger papers and they wouldn't do anything. And then I watched an interview when they were talking about this, the fact that this gentleman had gone to the small paper, or a gentleman had gone to the news outlets and said, this is wrong. He is lying. What is going on here? And at the end of the day, the newspapers all agreed, like, it wasn't our fault. We didn't do anything. They never admit to fault when they slip
when they're
up.
Caught.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, that was the thing, is people were saying, why didn't anyone say anything earlier? And this opponent, this Democratic candidate, was like, I tried the entire time. So,
and no one would listen to me.
So it'll be really amazing to see who gets this seat now, because can the Democrats get up enough energy to take this seat, or will the GOP just say, all right, we're going to get a cardboard cut out of one of us. We're going to put it in that seat and we'll be fine for 2 years, or the rest of that term.
Well, the one thing I think is that's almost guaranteed is that they're going to vet this, whoever this next candidate is. They're going to vet them within an inch of their life.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what other states will do. I'm sure they'll do very little, but yeah, I'm sure New York now will be even more about, like, you want to run here, fill out this 27-page application.
Absolutely.
We need 34 references. We need all of your IDs, and we'll think about it.
I would love, that would be something to ask Todd Alba about too, another colleague with the Todd Alba Show, just about how much research goes into, you know, looking at these candidates and their pasts and their backgrounds. And, but as you said too, I think now moving forward, there will be a much, much more vigorous process when it comes to looking at their pasts.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'll just say I'll run for Congress. Why not? My name is Gregory Josephson, and I'm running for Congress.
What would be your platform?
About 6 feet tall.
Thank you. That helped a lot.
I want to be taller than all of you.
All right. That helped a lot. Apparently, again, we got our signals crossed with John Nichols from the Cap Times, a couple of articles that he's had on there in the last couple of weeks. Essentially, Donald Trump and his lawyers were after some discovery regarding Trump's involvement in January 6th, and he fingered this John Nichols from the Cap Times, who's the associate editor, as being on the edges of the action on January 6th, and he was there encouraging rioters and encouraging people to move forward. And the only slight problem with that whole claim is that he was never there, and he has witnesses who can say that he was actually never there. Another thing, too, coming up about the January 6th, New Speaker of the House Mike Johnson announced, what, a month ago, that he was going to be releasing 40,000 hours of the January 6th footage. That still has not happened. It's been kind of trickling out here and there, but this massive release has not occurred up to this point. And the other thing that we never even had an opportunity to address this when it happened, but when Mike Johnson made that announcement that he was going to be releasing all this footage, he pointed out that they were going to blur out the faces of some people because he didn't want the Justice Department going after them. I find that pretty remarkable.
I mean, come on.
So we want to, and not that, and there were some people who, from what I understand, were not involved in the violence. But let's not forget, there have been over 700 people convicted for the violence at the Capitol on January 6th. And they're not done yet. There's still some that they're looking for and trying to locate.
And I don't know if you know this, Speaker Johnson, but if they want to see it, they're going to see it.
The other concern I've seen is that there is some footage from the Capitol Police themselves. They use a series of tunnels underneath the Capitol that are not well known to the public.
I've been through those tunnels.
You have?
I've been on their subway system. It's pretty cool, but not going to lie.
But there's some concern that allowing all of this footage out there is going to make things even less safe going forward.
Yeah.
Because not all of this should necessarily be public knowledge. All right, stay close. When we return at Christmas Trees and your chance to live right next to Lambeau, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I thrill with every word, every line. Guess I'm always sentimental round this time. Pardon me if a tear falls among my Christmas cheer. It's the memory of an old Christmas call.
You know, I don't know why I get the feeling.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave comments there as well. Just a reminder, before you head out for the holidays, to download the Civic Media app. And any podcast that you like, if you like the As Goes Wisconsin podcast, you can download that before you hit the road or jump on a plane and take us with you wherever you go and wherever your holidays may be leading you. This is probably on somebody's Christmas list. You have an opportunity now to buy a house in Green Bay that essentially butts right up to the Packers Stadium.
What?
Lambeau Field. A Green Bay
I've heard home, of it.
A Green Bay home with a view of Lambeau up for sale. 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2,000 square foot home listed on Zillow for about, okay, it's $699. I don't know why they list them at six. It's $700,000.
Wait, say what are the stats again?
It's 4 bedrooms.
4 bedrooms.
2 bathrooms.
2 bathrooms.
2,000 square feet.
Okay.
Listed on Zillow for $699,000.
So none of the Packers live there. There's no gold bars in the building.
It does come with a pool.
Okay.
And a deck in the back.
Okay.
Which I think is would be very appealing for some. That seems pricey to me, though, for Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm sure, because it's you're looking at Lambeau Field. Also, I mean, here's the thing is, we bought a house next to Lambeau Field. Give it one season.
Do you think that'll
live next to Lambeau Field? It's so loud.
But it's only loud for how many days?
I know, but still, I'm annoyed easily.
That would really irritate you?
I don't think I'd want. I think here's the thing is, I would rather a diehard, true green and gold fan live there and have the opportunity, because I think they would truly enjoy it. I'm not the biggest football fan, so it would be a little bit lost upon me. Or maybe it would renew energy I used to have for football. Who knows? All I know is that the moment someone drove up on my lawn before asking my permission, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, probably not the best purchase for you then, Greg.
No.
Probably not a good idea. Moving on, if you're not going to buy the house at Lambeau for $700,000, and unfortunately, I have a feeling that some business is going to buy it.
Oh, that sucks.
You know?
Yeah.
So they can have Lambo parties and turn it into a party house or something.
Airbnb it. They're going to Airbnb it.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Bet you they'll Airbnb it.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
And they'll make their money back in 2 seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Also, Christmas trees still an issue. There are nearly 900 Christmas tree farms in Wisconsin. Over 700,000 Christmas trees are cut across Wisconsin every year. But there have been some questions now about what are we supposed to do with them if we have a real tree in the house after this whole city of Milwaukee kerfuffle with the Christmas trees.
It was definitely a kerfuffle.
It was a kerfuffle. The Wisconsin DNR says Christmas trees are defined as yard waste. State law prevents sending yard waste to solid waste disposal facilities because when it goes into a landfill, essentially it breaks down and creates methane, which we don't want. So what should you do with your Christmas tree if your municipality does pick up the trees? Make sure you take off all the lights and all the decorations and any wires. And also with those Christmas tree lights, don't put them in the garbage or don't put them in the recycling. Never put your dead Christmas tree lights in recycling because they jam everything up. And unfortunately, they have to go in the garbage. But the DNR highly recommends you chip or compost your Christmas tree. Burning is not recommended when other options are available.
Or get a fake tree like I did and put it in your basement all year round.
You can do that. You can do that as well. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you for joining Ask Goes Wisconsin. What's up? Hi, Troy.
Hi. Hey, the house across or right by Lambeau Field, do they have pictures of that yet?
I am, let me take a
look.
If
it's on Zillow, then they got to have pictures.
Yeah, if it's up on Zillow, there will be pictures.
Okay, because they were building one that was right up against the parking lot. I was wondering if that was the one.
It sure, from what I can see, Troy, it does look like it's facing the front of Lambeau from as far as I can tell.
Right.
And with a strip of grass.
Okay.
But yes, it can be yours, Troy, it can be yours for only $700,000.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, Troy.
Talk to your wife. Talk to your wife. Ever put a big red bow on it for you? And that'll.
I've seen the tickets. Think of the money we'd save on parking.
There you go.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Troy. Have a very merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas to you both.
Take care.
Thank you.
And real quickly, PT is calling in from Portland. Good morning, PT. What's happening?
Heard about the house near Lambeau. Yeah, is it a modern home?
It's a two-story. Yeah, it looks pretty modern. It's not an old. It certainly doesn't look like it's from the 1940s. It looks like it's maybe a 70s or 80s.
Jane, I feel like you can get a cut on this real estate right now.
Right, I can help facilitate this deal for PT.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's steep for that area. But a developer might buy it, tear it down, put another bar there, right?
Put another bar?
Yep.
Yep, I can see that happening. Again, I would just like to see it go to a family as opposed to some business that's just going to turn into a party house or something.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? That's the fair market. Thank you for calling, PT. Thank you so much for listening in Portland. How did you find us?
Oh, I moved from Wisconsin to Portland. And I've always, listened to... Civic Radio. What was it called before? Devil's Advocate. Yeah. I've followed you guys for a long time, and I love the new app too.
Oh,
wonderful!
Cool.
Thank you, PT.
Heading downtown now to get a haircut. I have your app on, and it has a little thing that says "Stop listening."
Don't press that button.
Why would you do that, PT?
No, I Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, PC. Really appreciate you for listening, and keep Portland weird, right?
Heck yeah.
Keep Portland weird. All right, stay close. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba program. Thank you so much for listening and calling and texting. Makes all the difference in the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.